Welcome back to Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's off-road podcast brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Special note from our sponsor, Prime Shape Fitness. I am hosting a fitness event on the 17th of February. It's a Wednesday at 5 or 6 p.m. If that's something that interests you, to want to take a part of a free fitness class for yourself or for a loved one, message me through the Facebook app on Crossroad Off-Road or Prime Shape Fitness, where you'll find me, and I'll get back to you and get you set up. Thanks. Today I want to talk about things that are easier today. It could be titled Kids Have It So Easy type of thing, but a few things that come to mind, and I'll get into my main topic right at the end. The things that come to mind, first off, what a lot of us are doing right now, working from home. Only way you can work from home if you were, back in the day, say 20, 30 years ago, is if you owned your own business. And I grew up with a father and mother who both worked from home because we grew up on a farm. I grew up on a farm. So we worked as a family working from home. And so now it's one of the main things. So computers back in the day couldn't handle that type of thing, and phones weren't what they are today. We'll get more into that in a second. But things that are easier today, I think number one is working from home. You'll see a lot of more people doing that. But drawbacks to that is, I don't know how many people I know who met their spouse at work. So I don't know how many people are going to meet their spouse at work if everybody's working from home. So that's kind of interesting thing, the way to think about it too, is the benefits of actually working in the office. You might find somebody. So working from home today is a lot easier than it has been in the past. One thing I find really interesting, I talked about this before too, my next mini topic is Craigslist or Marketplace. Now we just find it really easy to kind of get on either one of those type of sites to find what we're looking for. But back in the day, back where I grew up, there was a program on Saturday mornings called Wheeler Dealer. It was basically a radio call-in show where you could call in and say, hey, I have a cord of wood for sale. And somebody could call back and says, hey, I want that cord of wood. It was basically not quite an online auction. It's more like, hey, I'm selling a cord of wood for, $50 or whatever the price was. And somebody called back, hey, I'll take that cord of wood from Joe Schmo. And then they'd say, all right, here's the number. And then you go back and forth like that. And it was an hour, 2 hour long show on Saturday mornings. The guy would answer the phone, Wheeler Dealer, and everybody would listen to what they're selling. Hey, I'm selling, X, Y, and Z. And people would call back and answer it. It was so interesting to think about that. That took 2 hours to probably sell 20, 30 items. And then, I don't know, my buddy Wade selling, baseball cards left and right now that he's found in his mom's basement for all day on Marketplace. So it's just interesting how times have changed in that regard. And we have a lot to thank for is the is our phones we carry. I just remembered another one that I want to put on here on this mini list. But yeah, that's a big one. Another thing, it was my wife talked about this back in the day, was when you wanted to record a song off the radio, you had to hit two buttons on your tape player, wait for the song to come on, hit two buttons, and then listen to your entire song, and then hit stop. Then you had the song recorded. You had to have your blank tape, obviously, and you had all that set up and sit there and wait for the song to come on the radio, and you wanted the DJ to be quiet so you get the whole song, not him talking for 15 minutes. So nowadays, we just say, I want to record this song, or I want to download this song, and it's so easy comparison-wise. Books are the same way. You had to go to the library back in the day. Every time now I listen to audiobooks, which is also on this list, and they talk about somebody works in a library. I mean, libraries aren't going to exist in the very short term now, because, you can just download a book, and I listen to audiobooks, books on tape were something I was into back in the day. You'll laugh at this, but I listened to the entire Harry Potter series. After I saw that first book, or saw the first movie, I went and got the first book on tape, and then I would hand those tapes off to my brother, who would listen to them and give them back to me. So we both had long commutes, and it seems to make the time fly. And even today, I listen to up to 60 books a year, along with podcasts. I kind of go back and forth. Right now, I'm on a kick listening to audiobooks about Wyoming and a game warden out of Wyoming. It's pretty fun. But, back to the thing about, taping a song. Same thing with he's recording on VHS. And, people have no clue what VHS is nowadays compared to back in the day. Everybody had a VHS, but I remember we got our first one. It was a big deal. You could rent movies. You had to go to a store and pick out a movie, and hopefully the new arrivals were there, and you could pick something new instead of looking over the same old police academies again. But now it's just we can go on demand, and now we don't need to say anything. One thing that's down my list, as a phone book, Yellow Pages. The Yellow Pages were delivered the other day to my house, and they went right into the recycle. I had no use for Yellow Pages because I had a phone. Now I can be middle of driving. I could just say, the magic words, and it'll take me right to that place of business, or it'll look it up for me, call the place for me. So I just gotta say the magic words. I'm not gonna say them now because I don't want my phone to go off. But you say hey to that one person, or to another. And boom, they have the answer for you. It's pretty amazing. My clients who I work with who are, I have clients who's in their 81 and 89. They're a married couple. I go to their house and they're amazed. They always like save up questions to ask me. They're always amazed what I can find out. They think I'm a genius, but really I'm just looking it up on the online and saying, here's what it is. So it kind of takes thing away. But shopping, here's another one. Shopping versus on the store versus online. Maps. Maps are a thing of the past. When I first moved to the cities from out in the middle of nowhere where I grew up, I had a map in my pickup at all times, and I'd always be looking at it, trying to find the quickest way home. Now I just, no matter where I'm at, I pull up my maps and say, how do I get home fastest? And it'll give me two or three different routes based on traffic, and I take that route. So, people probably don't want to look at a map anymore comparison to back in the day. It all comes down to what us. These magical devices that we carry, these cell phones, and what they all can do. Even getting paid. Back in the day, I'd get a check, take it to a bank. Now it's here's my Venmo. Just throw it on there, and bam. Today I was getting out of the shower, heard my phone go cha-ching, and somebody had just paid me for the package they had. So wasn't it? Just popped into my inbox. So it's great to kind of hear that. Another thing too is this is one of my biggest ones. Is the growth of fantasy sports. And I saw this a few years ago when I first got into fantasy football. It was on a computer, and it was just kind of getting on a computer. We're using a couple different apps that are out there. And now it's, all I can, you can draft a whole league on your phone. In the early days, it was pen and paper. You get the paper, like the newspaper out the next day, and you kind of manually add up your points. That's how it kind of all started. Roto baseball is what it was called. Fantasy sports started with baseball. And then it got into football, and I think what really kind of helped out the masses get involved in it is the fact that you could easily just draft the whole team, and the top person popped up, and you just picked that person or picked your quarterback, whatever. And back in the day, I remember doing it with some friends, and we would pick some person twice. Somebody would go, oh yeah, we picked Brett Favre. I picked that guy 6 picks ago, if you didn't know. And it's like one of those funny things where you're always double picking. Now you can't do that because it's all computerized to a high extent. It's pretty cool. Another thing too is that when we get into next is instructions. Reading instructions on a piece of paper is pretty tough, but if you actually just go to YouTube, you can learn anything. And this is what. Well, my big thing the other day was my first big build, my first list. I forget where I put my list now. My list for my, there it is, build for my Jeep. So I kind of put a list together. I kind of mentioned it last week when I had my buddy Wade on. I said, I'm opening up the wallet. It's starting. I'm going to start to be brave enough to kind of treat myself and pick up some parts for the Jeep. And the goal is, for a long time, either go 33s or 35s, but I think I'm going to stick with 33s, and here I'll tell you why, is the list of parts you need to buy gets bigger once the tires get bigger. So it's a domino effect. So if you stay at 30s, you really don't need to do anything. Go to 31s, you got to do a little bit. If you go 33s, a little bit more. 35s, then you start, the risk of breakage goes up. The things you need to do to the Jeep goes up. If I went to 40s or 42s, obviously the list gets even longer. So I kind of said, well, the whole gig the whole time was 33s and lockers, and kind of working towards that. So the first thing I decided to do was brakes. I had done the brakes last summer, or summer before. I did an episode on it where it was super hot in my garage. It must have been last summer. Super hot in the garage. We got it all done. It was super fun to do that with my buddy Wade. We did brakes, ball joints. And that's why I need new tires, because I didn't change out the ball joints early enough. Steering kit, and U-joints. So it was a fun Friday, and we actually should have watched the video. Kind of joked about this a couple of times. We should have watched the video on how to change the U-joints, or bolt U-joints, a couple more times, because there's a simple clip that would have saved us about 2 hours of screwing around. But so this time, I actually stopped my buddy Wade at one point. So let's just watch the video one more time, just so we kind of see what to do here. So we did. So what I picked out, you know, they're not a sponsor, but I'll mention their name. I picked up Black Magic Brakes, and just for the rear drums, because I've already had done the front end, and I did an upgraded kit. I did the upgraded, I forget what it was called, but it was the more expensive kit at AutoZone. So I bought it, and so I had the fronts already done, and my parking brake hasn't been working for a while. And so that's always a concern on a trail. I always have to shut the Jeep off, and if I was on a hill, just so it could be, you know, not roll. And I'd rather have a parking brake that actually works. More on that later, because I haven't even tested it out yet, because I just did a little break-in process here, and I didn't want to put the parking brake on a hot, you know, drum. So I went with Black Magic Brakes, and I went with their complete kit, which means you get new springs and everything. And here's where it comes down to why kids these days have it so easy. The number of parts in a drum brake will blow your mind. Bleepin' Jeep has a YouTube on it. You can type in, you know, rear drum brakes, TJ, Bleepin' Jeep, and it'll pop up. You can kind of take a look at what I was looking at. That same video I watched like 3-4 times just to have an idea. And he's probably doing it on the TJ, maybe it's an XJ, but same kit altogether. But there is, and each side, no less than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 springs, couple cables, bunch of other loose parts. It just seems like a whole bunch of things that you just duct tape together with springs. It's the springs that are just holding it all together. So it helps to have a few extra hands. Now, I am not an expert at this, and I actually thanked Wade, and I thanked his wife for letting me borrow Wade for the weekday, and it only took us about 2.5 hours to do both sides, and more than that. Didn't need to take us that long, but I had a little mix-up that we had to fix. But I thanked him and said, you know, Wade did 99% of the work, but the 1% that I did was pretty important. I kind of joked. But so he had tore into brakes. Last time I did it, I was probably 14 years old on my brother's Caprice. So, and he wasn't even home. It was my dad and I doing it out in the garage, and it was cold as crap out there. I remember being super cold, and we're working on brakes. I'm like, why are we doing this? We have no clue what we're doing. But it saved us money, I guess. So that's why we did it. And so I knew going into having bigger tires, needed better brakes. So I went with this kit. And like I said, it had all new springs. Instead of putting rusty and crappy parts back in, you're putting everything brand new that goes with the brakes. New brake cable, the whole nine yards. So before Wade got over, I thought I'd save a little time by taking the rear wheels off and using my Harbor Freight jack stands. These are the replacement ones that they might have a promise they're not going to kill you. But I used the 6-ton jack stands, put it up, left the jack that came with the Jeep underneath the pumpkin just to kind of, you know, be there in case these jack stands don't do their job. But these are the replacement ones. If you didn't know, there's a recall on Harbor Freight jack stands. I had those. These are replacements. They're $11 more as a pair. So I picked those up. And I had those working. Pulled them out of the box. I just think this is the second time maybe I used them. So anyhow, had it all set up. Pulled off the wheels on in the passenger side. I had the hardest time getting two lug nuts off. And for somehow, it was cross-threaded a way off. I don't know how it was, if it was somehow gnarled on there or what have you. Driver's side went perfect. I ripped those off half a second, no problem. It was the passenger side that was giving me a lot of trouble. And so when I pulled off, I looked down the lug nuts, and definitely two of them were pretty messed up. So I just took it upon myself to run to Napa real quick, pick up two lug nuts and two studs in case we need to replace the studs. And I do have wheel spacers. I know some people anti-wheel spacer, but I have wheel spacers on there that I think are an inch. Anyhow, I have those wheel spacers. And that's what was part of the problem too, is I had stripped one of the studs in the wheel spacer pretty good. So I said, well, I can just go buy a new set of wheel spacers if I need to for this side. Just put one new one on there if I really need to. So we got to that point. At this time, Wade was over. And he goes, all right, well, let's check it out. So first thing we did was pulled that off and set it aside. Then we started tearing into the brakes a little bit and getting that apart. And I didn't know this until I was, Sunday years old when Wade told me about brake dust. He says, yeah, that stuff is nasty. Make sure when you pull it all apart, that's a cancer-causing piece. Having that brake dust, you're supposed to clean it real good, make sure there's no dust around. So I'm like, all right, I had a couple brake clean sprays. And so I hit them all both up with brake screen as we got the outside of it all opened up. And that way the dust wasn't going to be a problem. It was going to be kind of chunked up together and not dust anymore, more just dirt sitting there. So, you read up on that if you're ever going to do something like this yourself. So I got into the process of, basically holding the flashlight. Wade tore into ripping it all apart, and we made sure we had all the parts, and we did. There was two springs that looked like they were corroded when we got them, but there was actually two brand new springs in the box. So somebody must have got it, returned it because of those two rusty springs, and then they just threw two brand new ones in the box. It was a weird situation. I don't know what's going on there, but full disclosure, we had all our parts. So then we, like I said, started taking things apart. And after we cleaned it all, and we started on the passenger side because that was what we considered the hard side. It's like, well, we'll do the hard side first, then the easy side will take half the time. And we was right. I think the second side took us less than 20 minutes compared to that first side took all of an hour and a half, mainly because of my mix-up. And then we had it installed a little bit wrong, but we figured it out through process elimination. So get more detailed. On the part we had wrong, we had the parking brake kind of wasn't quite seated right. There's a little thing that looks like a half moon, and this wasn't pushed all the way back. So we took it, put it together and took it apart, three, four times before we figured out what the problem was, because it just wasn't, the brake adjuster wasn't wrapped wrong. That's more of the brake adjuster, I should say. It wasn't hooked on right somehow, some way, with the parking brake. I don't know the details of it, but in the end, there's an automatic adjuster in there, and it wasn't looking right the whole time. So we kept on going back and forth, running back and forth, two sides, figured out the problem, got it seated in the correct spot, and then it all made sense. Once we got it together right, then it went together. So that was our only real hang-up with the brake. We should take a picture before we take it apart. We didn't do that. And I forgot to take a picture because we just had one side kind of, we were doing both sides. We just go to the other side, run around and figure it out. And then I forgot to take a picture for you guys on the finished product before I put the wheels on, but it just looked like the original product, but black and brand new. It was pretty cool looking. So we got the first side put together with all the 5-6 springs, whatever it takes to get this magical piece to stay in one spot, and got it all together. And like I said, it had that one hitch on the brakes itself. It was just kind of the detail of where this little half moon thing went on the rear end of the hub. So we got that together. Then now back to the spacer, where I had gnarled up the end piece of two. One was pretty bad and one wasn't. So what good old Wade always brings those tool and die kit, because I told him about this already. I said, it's pretty gnarled up. I'll go out and buy a new, spacer if I need to. Not a big deal. I can go do that. It's $35 for a pair. And but he goes, let's see if we can save it before you go and spend the money. So I'm like, all right, cool. So he busts out his tool and die kit. He does the easy one first. The one that had just had a little bit of gnarling on it. That one, no problem. Then brand new lug nuts spun right on that, no problem. Then we went to the table grinder and kind of shortened up, I would say by less than a little more than 1/8 inch to take off the end. And then he was able to get a good start on with his tool and die set and to get a fresh thread cut into the bolt. If you don't know what tool and die is, it's just a really, what I understand, it's like a really hard metal that it's like a nut that goes on, and it's just a really hard metal that can cut in new grooves for you or kind of restart the grooves on your whatever bolt you have. So it comes in handy with studs because those aren't the easiest things to replace. You got to press them out, or in my case, I could have just bought a new wheel spacer, which I probably will next time I do anything with the rear end. I'll probably just have when I do my locker and gears, that's kind of on the list of things to do. I'll probably put a new wheel spacer on there just to have a fresh one on and have that full length on that lug. But yeah, that's the plan. There was to do that, and it all worked out really well. We had no problems. The new lug nuts spun right on those two posts, our studs, and we were happy with that. Threw the old lug nuts away, and Wade got mad because I didn't throw them away right away, so they get mixed up. I'm like, well, you can tell they're the ones that we're not going to use. So, long story longer, that was the first side. Again, that probably took 1.5 hours to do the first side. We had taken the other side apart, but that's about 2 minutes of work compared to the other side, completing all that work. Then we started on the second side, and as always, the second time you do something, boy, you fly right through it. So that side was the side that was tighter quarters for us to work, but we got it done. I mean, if it took us 20 minutes, I'd be surprised. We just slapped together no problem. We knew what to do with that problem on the first side to get everything to seat right. Wade had the special tools for the couple different springs, and he used them mostly. We did have our safety glasses on, because springs will, well, spring back at you if you don't watch out. So we made sure we had our safety glasses on for those parts. We did take breaks for beers, in case you're wondering. We had a beer every now and again to make sure we had a fun time while we were doing it. And we got those pieces done. And then the next part was, you don't get the tires on. So I put on, I have the real brand name Loctite. It says red Loctite. It's a red tube. And I have one still sitting in a package that's blue, but it says red Loctite. But it's from another company. I go, why is this red Loctite blue? And Wade had a thing. It's like Kleenex. I mean, it's just the, you know, name of something, Loctite. And it's made by different companies, so they can't have it the same exact thing. But I've been using that same red one forever. I haven't even used my new one yet. So put Loctite in all the spacer, or on the regular studs, they put the spacer on. Got my torque wrench out, which this is probably the third or fourth time now I've used it. So that was a good purchase, I think. It was a $100 deal instead of running back and forth to the store. I think I talked about that in the past, having a little torque wrench comes in handy. And I also had Wade there to kind of pull the brake a little bit so I could tighten it all down. So we got that all done, got all slapped together, then sat in the garage. We celebrated with one more beer, talked for a little bit longer. But today I finally got it out. So we did that on Sunday. Today is Tuesday the 2nd. And so today I had a chance to get out and do the break-in process. I think mainly the break-in process is for if you have disc brakes, but I had the time, so I might as well do it with my new drums. So the break-in process is each manufacturer might have its own, but you basically go out and do 5 hard stops from 40 to almost zero. You don't want to kind of come to a complete stop. So I found a loop up at my house, and I had 5 stops in pretty quick. And then came back to the garage, did a little bit of work, then went out there, did it a second time, and then I'll do it again tomorrow morning. Let them cool down overnight, and I'll do, like I said, do it tomorrow morning one more time, and then they say I'll be ready to go. Then I'll be able to use my parking brake, test all that out. But so far, you know, the first feeling is it's definitely grabbing. I wish I would have done a test on how to, you know, test it all out, how much it brakes. Most of your braking power does come from the front brakes, I realize that. But it definitely has a feel that you are getting a little more braking power from the back end helping you out. So my main goal of this whole thing in the end was to have the parking brake work. That was my main thing, because I really wanted that to go, and then have fresh brakes in the back. I've had the Jeep at 117,000 when I got it. It has 155,000 now. I have no clue where the brakes were when the previous owner, if he'd ever replaced them, but I figured, well, might as well make it fresh before I get the new tires. So went and did that. Like I said, I use Black Magic brakes and use all my brake cleaners. So now I have a couple of brake cleaners in my inbox, ready to go on my inbox, my Amazon box, ready to order. You know, again, kids have it easy these days; they can do that. So if I don't go to the store anytime soon, I'll just order on Amazon, have it delivered to my house, which is pretty handy. So that was a total process, is start to finish. I mean, I watched that video a few times. I probably could have done it myself, but it's like, if you got somebody who knows how to do it, might as well have them over to help you out. And there's only room for one person in that area anyhow. Can't really just, you know, have 5 hands down there. I think I held the thing together a little bit for Wade to kind of do his deal. But he tore through it with ease, and we hung out and talked a little bit. Had a good time. So the Jeep build, the improvement process has restarted. So funny, I got my list here, and I have on here done. That's kind of a joke, because I don't think Amy's Jeep is ever done. And then I added 2 more things after it. It's just kind of how it works. And I'm kind of prioritizing it a little bit right now. And I'm going to wait till see what the Mr. Taxman says about my taxes this year. But Should have enough left over here for the tires. And then kind of picking through the tire carrier. What am I do with the brake light? I had an idea for anti-rock. Then it's kind of waiting a bit to get the lockers done and the gearing. Then it's the skid plate and the cat-back exhaust. Because right now I'm running a tailpipe a delete kit, I call it. But I'd like to get back to a full exhaust again because it's just a little quieter. And, I just like to have it quiet. I don't think six cylinders all together sound great with a loud exhaust on it. It's just a little bit louder in stock. Only thing that sounds good with a little bit louder than stock is your V8s, I think. And definitely the six cylinder doesn't sound the same with a little bit too loud of exhaust. It just drones on a little bit. So in the end, I'm happy I did the brakes. That's my main thing I wanted to get done, was to get the brakes done for the parking brake, but definitely going to grab more, I believe. From the seat of the pants feel, that's what I'm going with. So you heard it here first. But yeah, so if anybody else has some brake stories going on, go ahead and share them on the Facebook page. But I think that it was a fun process. But in the end, disc brakes are way easier. And I spent way more on disc brakes on my bicycle. I do mountain bike racing, and I did a race up in Mankato, and it was so muddy that so many bikes were ruined that day, and my bike had ruined the brakes, and they could not figure out how to fix the brakes. I took it to the bike shop and says, I don't know what you guys got to do, but fix the brakes. And they're like, well, we tried this, and nothing would work. It was just for some reason it was just not grabbing at all anymore. If you haven't met me, I'm a big fella. I go about 240, and I want my brakes to work, especially when I'm going in a mountain bike race where a tree is coming at you at up to 30, 35 miles an hour in some cases. So he goes, well, we can fix them for 300, or we can upgrade your brakes for 450. I said, it's time for upgrade time. So I spent $450 on a pair of brakes for my bicycle. So I've spent money on disc brakes, trust me, and they grab. They're hydraulic, they're self-adjusting, they are glorious grabbing brakes. You wouldn't believe how much they grab. And so that's kind of like where I really spent my money is on that, and that's front and rear with the discs and the pads, and I'll handle all the hydraulics. I think the only thing they had to add was the fluid. And ironically, bikes use mineral oil as their hydraulic fluid of choice. So anyhow, I've spent money on disc brakes before. That would have been the way to go. They're so much simpler. I love the discs that are on my bike. I think haven't even changed the pads yet. I changed the pads on my kid's bike, but not this one. And they work perfect. Love them. And I'm glad I spent the $450. My wife found out about that. She's like, you spent $400, that was for your pickup? I said, no, for my bike. And she couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe I spent that much. But I'm like, it's what I'm into. So anyhow, so I did it for that. This time, reason I didn't go disc, kind of share that thing, is I think the cost would have been $500 to $600 for a brake disc conversion. There is a way you can use, I think, Crown Victoria brakes on it. You can use, or you can do a conversion. And then, but the learning process to do that, I thought, that might be a bit much. And especially if it's just the rear brake, I'm like, I think it's just the rear. It's just gonna help me out a little bit, main goal, parking brake, and a little bit more braking power. So I think I just went that route and spent $229 versus $500, $600. So kind of have to do a couple things like that here and there. So there's my brake story. It might not have been exciting for everybody, but people who are thinking about brakes on their older TJs, I think all new vehicles have, these kids these days, they all have disc brakes. Those are simple to use. I've had the front end off of my pickup when I did the front wheel bearings, and I could have easily changed the brake pads out myself on that at that time. I was like, well, this is simple. Just pull these off, slap these in, you're good to go. Not too bad to do compared to this process. And again, springs all over the place, and any which way you could have had a problem. Just too many moving parts if you really want to know. So everybody out there who's done drum brakes before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, watch that Bleeping Jeep video. The guy's a bit of a character, but just Google it just to see what I'm talking about. You also look at some of the pictures I'm going to post with this podcast. So there you go. Now, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. And soon we'll have some more stories, some updates to some other people's Jeeps. Looking for that. I've got some people reached out to me and said they'd like to be on again. So I'm going to reach out to them, and you're going to hear some more stories about other people's newer Jeeps instead of these old TJs that we keep talking about. Okay? All right. Thanks again. Talk to you soon. Once again, you've been listening to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Again, I have an event on the 17th, February 2021. If you are interested, look me up on Facebook, Prime Shape Fitness. Thank you.